Psalm 119. We're going to be starting with verse 17, Psalm 119, verse 17. I'd like to read the passage, if you will follow, beginning at Psalm 119, verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgment at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Father in heaven, we pray that your Holy Spirit will teach us, instruct us that which will be of benefit to our lives, for we know that all from your word is of benefit. In Jesus' name, amen. The focus of this message is on verse 20. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. This phrase, my soul breaketh, this is the only place in scriptures where that appears. Now, we can relate to what the psalmist is lamenting. Today, we would say, my heart breaks. Or my heart is breaking over such and such. But let's go verse by verse to see what prompts this statement by the psalmist in verse 20, my soul breaketh. In verse 17, we find a request, what I call request number one, and why it is made. Deal bountifully with thy servant. That's the request. The reason, he says it, is that I may live and keep thy word. So he wants to be able to live in a way that he is able to keep the word of God. Now, deal bountifully with thy servant. Turn back a few pages to 116, or forward, however you would think of it. Psalm 116, verse 7. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. So here again, we see a reference to God dealing bountifully. Let's look at verse 1 for the context. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. He describes his problems. He describes his condition, if you please. And he says in verse 4, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Then he says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Return unto thy rest. He wasn't restful in the conditions that he describes there in the beginning verses, But once God has intervened for him, he is able then to return to rest because of what the Lord did for him. Now, if you go to Psalm 13, we find a similar passage. Psalm 13 and verse 6. Book of Psalms, Psalm 13, verse 6. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. So you see in Psalm 119, verse 1, he talks about being dealt bountifully. Psalm 116, verse 7, about being dealt with bountifully. And now in Psalm 13, the same thing, he describes what the Lord has done bountifully with me. You see, God is generous in his care of us. And that's what's talked about. If you've got a stingy God, you don't have the God of the Bible. If you feel that God's just helping you to somehow squeak by, that isn't from God's side. That's from your side. Because God deals bountifully. Now, Psalm 13, verse 1. Listen how David describes where he's at and how he feels. He says in verse 1, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? His soul was breaking. How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? You know, David sounds like he's got a troubled heart. He's got a troubled life. As a matter of fact, so much so that he felt that God forgot him. Have you ever been there?
No.
Where you felt God's forgotten you? Yeah. You know God's there. You know God is all he claims to be, but your own experience at these points in life is that he's forgotten you. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? He doesn't just say, how long will you forget me? You're going to forget me forever? And then having sorrow in my heart daily. Then he says, how long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Now listen, our troubles are frequently not a person. Often they can be a person. And they would be described in this second verse as an enemy. That frequently would describe a problem that we're dealing with. But more than that, it's the situations of life, the conditions of life, the experiences of life that are as an enemy to us. In David's case, it was people who were going to do him in. Sometimes we feel it's this condition I'm living with, this situation that I'm trying to survive, that's going to do me in. And he says here, he asked God, how long? May I paraphrase? How long shall my condition be exalted over me? How long is this circumstance I'm living with going to be stronger than I am? He says in verse 3, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Mine enemy, my condition says, I prevailed against him. You see, the devil would use conditions in your life, circumstances in your life, to prevail against you. There are times when it's a person, an individual we're involved with, that seems like they're going to prevail against us. But again, I say frequently, it's a circumstance of life. And we're convinced that it is going to do us in. It's going to prevail. Verse 4, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. You got people Sometimes it's neighbors, sometimes it's friends, frequently it's a relative who sees you under great strain and stress, and they seem to rejoice when they see you enduring what you're enduring. They seem to rejoice when it looks like maybe you're going to go under from this thing. You say, well, how would they know? Very possibly by the lack, or by our countenance and the lack of the usual. When a person has a heavy weight, it shows on them. Frequently, it's by complaining that we've done. And that need not be. You may be bearing some of the heaviest burdens that you can experience, but listen to me. Don't tell the unsaved. There's no need for the unsaved to know the struggles that you're bearing. What value, what benefit can come from you whining or complaining to an unsaved person? It does not matter how friendly they are, how supportive of you in other respects they are. You take your burdens to the Lord. If you need to see someone eyeball to eyeball, you take them to a close friend who you know isn't going to run their mouth to the next person they see after you leave. You say, well, that isn't going to leave very many people. Well, listen, the Lord's there.
Yes, sir.
The Lord's there. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God, light mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in the mercy, in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Here it is, verse 6. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. You can frequently read in the Psalms, and you will read the beginning of a psalm. David is describing his existence, but he comes to the end and he knows that God is faithful. And he reminds himself of God's provisions in the past. And so, like verse 5 and 6, he says, I've trusted in thy mercy. He describes everything. He says, Lord, you forget about me? Oh, yo, God, I'm down here.
Amen.
But then he remembers and he says, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord. Why? Because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Do we honestly think that God would want anything but the best for us? I hope not. Which doesn't take away the burden, but it helps us to get our eyes where they need to be on the Lord. Verse 18, back in Psalm 119, verse 18 says, Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's the second request that he has, for his eyes to be opened. Why? So that he can see what God's word has for him. Keep your place in Psalm 119. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. Here the apostle Paul is praying for the Christians at Ephesus, and he prays that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, isn't that what David talked about here in verse 18? Open thou mine eyes. Help me to see what I need to see. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Why? that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, comma, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. And on you can go in the next several verses. This is why you pray for God to open your eyes, not to answer every little pity bitty question that you might have, but to show you what you need to see. And that's what he wants to do. What you need to see, not what you want to see. Yeah. What you need to see, not what you think you ought to see. But what he knows you need. My Jesus knows just what I need.
Amen.
One songwriter wrote. Now look at Psalm verse 19. Same psalm, Psalm 119, verse 19. I am a stranger in the earth. That's the psalmist's self-description as a stranger. That's a sojourner or a foreigner. You know what song came to my mind there? This world is not my home.
Amen.
I'm just a passing through. Now you remember that the next time you're living in the midst of troubles, like we read of in Psalm 116 and Psalm 13. When David said, Lord, have you forgotten me? Oh my, we can be on the mountaintop when we're singing.
Oh yeah.
Okay. But what about when we're at home, looking at all of our problems? And listen to me, those problems are real. I'm not minimizing them. I'm not saying that they don't impact us. We live with them problems. That's why they get our attention. But we live with God, do we not? We indeed do. Now, request number 3 in verse 19 is, hide not thy commandments from me. David, this part of David knew that God wouldn't hide things from him, okay? But because of where he was at that point in his life, it's what it seemed like. And that's why we think sometimes God's somehow withholding something from us. He's not withholding anything from us other than what he knows would not be beneficial to us to know at that point. There's times where he may know that it would be better for us to continue, my words to describe it, in the dark than for him to shed light on it. Because what is God's goal? To build our faith. What is God's goal? To make us into a strong believer. And if he gives us everything we want, whenever we want it, if he goes to bat, leveling out every mountain, filling in every valley, he'll not make us a strong person.
That's good.
Just like a parent. Do your children a favor. Let them learn how to live with some of the difficulties of life, some of the inequities of life. Because if you try to always make everything all right for your kids, they're not going to know how to handle real life. Because you'll not always be there, and even if you are, you'll not always be able to straighten everything out for them. So it'd be good to just sit down and explain. These things exist in life, but you'll get through it. And then try and explain to them some of your own experiences maybe. And then just help them through that. Pray with them about that matter. Okay? Now that's important. Now that sounds good, sitting here in a church. But think about it when you're in your home. Okay? All right, let's move on. Now we're at verse 20. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath. My soul breaketh. Why? For the longing that it hath. I wrote this as David's despair. And even David, I have with a big question mark, because who the author of Psalm 119 is, there can be dispute amongst Bible teachers. Okay? Most seem to think that it would have the ring of David's writing and David's way. I'm satisfied with that. You know, other people did, however, write some of the Psalms. David didn't write them all. He wrote most of them. He's credited with most of them. But it's David's despair. And I have it listed as significant despair, more than mere discouragement. So he says, my soul, he describes himself in 17, 18, and 19, and he says, my heart's breaking. And that may be the way you and I have felt with some of the things that we live with. That our heart's breaking. Lord, I can't take any more. But you have, haven't you? Remember a year ago when you said that? Remember a month ago when you said that? Here you are. You're still going. You're even in church. We'll make it. We're the parents. And so when the kids go through something like that, we say, oh, you'll make it. Come on now, you're all going to be all right. Do you hear God saying that? When you say, I can't take it anymore? Can you hear God saying, oh, you'll be all right? What's the matter? You don't believe you can take it? Of course we can. Psalm 42. When I was preparing this message and looking for different scriptures that, you know, cross-related and spoke of similar situations, one of them that I found was here, Psalm 42, verse 1. Familiar psalm to those who read in the psalm. Psalm 42, as the heart panteth. Heart there is H-A-R-T, not heart like the pumps blood in you, okay? This would be sort of like a deer, okay? This would be a deer-like animal, okay? As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Look at verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Do you have any of those kind of relatives or acquaintances? I'm not going to call them friends. I'll just call them acquaintances. Who, when you're undergoing a problem, a difficulty, you know, your roof started leaking. The engine blew up in your car, and you got laid off. Is that a bad enough description of things?
Yeah.
That'd be a pretty bad situation, wouldn't it? And you can't, you know, you can't hide them things. People see them, okay? And they know them. And you're struggling with it. And then somebody comes along and talks about it. And you say, well, I'm praying. And then because they're so compassionate and understanding, they say to you, well, how's that prayer thing working out for you? How's it going? Can be hard. And you know what the answer for that sort of thing is? This is the type of thing you give them. But you let God give you the answer. But this is the type of thing you say to them. Ma'am, sir, call their name. I don't know how God's going to help me. And right now it doesn't look like he's helping me. But one thing I know is that God is good and he doesn't fail. Will you allow me the opportunity to tell you in the future how he did it?
Amen.
As you've taken opportunity now to question him, why should we have to cower before somebody who would question our God? Now, don't be flippant, don't be unkind or cocky, but just in a factual way. Yeah, it looks pretty dark, and I don't know what the answer's going to be, but God will answer. Now listen to me. You may not feel that way. You may not feel that way, but it's okay to talk that way. You say, isn't that hypocritical? Not at all. It's speaking the truth that you know. And then don't forget the P.S. It's all right with you. I'll let you know how God worked it out in the future when he does.
Amen.
They were bold enough to question your God.
Right.
Why should we be intimidated and not be just as bold to say, I'll tell you how when he does it?
Amen.
All right, verse 21. Back in Psalm 119, verse 21. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. So here we have in verse 21, David already acknowledging that God is at work. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. They don't keep the word of God, and God deals with them. I like the way Pastor pointed it out here last couple of weeks. He said about people who always say, well, when's God going to make that right? Why does God let this happen? Why does God let that happen? And he talked about the scripture that says the day of vengeance is in the hand of the Lord. Okay, he's just being patient with people. But he's going to make things right. Here he did it in this case. Verse 22, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. So here's the fourth request. And he does it in his own way. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Why God works... Or, you know, I asked a question, why, in verse 22, and it's because God works on his timetables, okay? He says, I've kept thy testimonies. God, reprove this problem. God, take this problem away. I've lived for you. I've been faithful to church. I read my Bible. God, why don't you take this away? Listen. God works from his motivations, not ours.
Yep.
God will do what he wants to do when he's ready to do it. Not because we come to him with our truckload of good works that we hope will influence him to do what we want him to do. No. It's not because we've kept these testimonies. However, you say, well, why David say that? The writer... David knew in this instance that he was innocent of the problems and the accusations that he was experiencing. Now, there are times when we plead for help, but we're not innocent, and we plead for help as guilty, and therefore we plead for God's mercy. Don't you ever think that because you're guilty of something or guilty of just faithless living that you can't go to God and ask for help. You can.
Amen.
But you go there confessing your condition and asking for mercy. In this situation, David was faithful in his living. He kept the testimonies of God. And as a man, he comes and he asks, God, why aren't you removing it? But God works in his timetables. Oh, there's lots of times I've asked for things and God was slow in answering. Yeah. Slow by my standard. He was right on time by his. Now, that sort of thing preaches good, but it lives hard.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay?
Very hard.
Preaches good, but lives hard. But listen, what lives is what's important.
That's right.
All right, last one, verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. He held God's way. He followed God's word. He sought direction from God. And that's not to say that we don't have others from whom we can get help. But God and his word must be the bottom line. If you get comfort and counsel from someone else, and I'm assuming that would be another good, godly Christian, whoever it is, their counsel must agree with the word of God. If it doesn't, then it's not good.
Right.
Okay? But other believers can be a big help to us. All right, let's... I can't get that. I need a kid to know how to do that.